we can remember Jonah. We can also, when we start looking at these familiar people, we can think about David and Goliath. And then we think about the people crossing the Red Sea. And so all the famous stories go on. And what can we actually add to what we already know? And that's the hard part when we come to sort of reflect back on Jonah. Well, we know the story. We know it's all about. We know what's happening. We know it's where God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach repentance. We know that Jonah hightailed it off in the opposite direction towards Tarshish, gets swallowed by a fish, and then we have the pack where he gets spit out onto the beach in a change of heart. He goes off to Nineveh, preaches a message, they repent, end of the story, we all know it, but there's a sting in the tail. Let's start at the beginning, shall we? Let's find out about Jonah. He comes from a small village in Galilee and was a prophet, as mentioned in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 14. You'll find a little bit about him. It was in the reign of Jeroboam II, about 823 BC, and this king was responsible for restoring the borders of Israel, which had been lost in various battles, even though himself he wasn't a very faithful king to God. In fact, Jonah prophesied the fact that this would happen during Jeroboam's reign. So we can begin to see that Jonah is a strong man for God. He's very, almost zealous, prophesying. There must be other prophecies that he's given, but he's a very zealous man. At the time, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire and had become for the Jews something of a byword for cruelty, for godlessness, for really terrible country. They were Israel's greatest enemies who really glorified evil and brutal torture. So there's the background. So you can imagine now when God says to Jonah, you've got to go to Nineveh. And he's going, no way, sunshine. I'm not going into that lot. I'll get killed, maimed, whatever else, I'll be punished. He didn't do it. And it was a sign of God's, in the midst of all that's happening, God speaking to Jonah to say, go and speak out against Nineveh's sin. It was a sign that God was offended, perhaps, by the evil ways of these people. And he wanted Jonah to go and warn them, tell them of a coming judgment. And as I said, the last thing Jonah wanted to do was to rush off and go and get in there. He didn't want to go to see people who were despised. He didn't want to go and see people who rejected God, who terrorized people, who brutally killed them and then overpowered them. He didn't want that. He said, I don't want nothing to do with them. And no way am I going to get involved. And here's a point where God is going to teach Jonah a lesson about love and care for all things. He runs off in the opposite direction. He didn't run off because he was a great coward. Well, I'm not going to put up with that. He ran off because he was afraid of what might happen to him. Fear crept into his life, perhaps for the first time. Why was it there? He was afraid that God would actually speak to these people, that they would repent to the message that he brings, and God, most of all, would forgive them. He couldn't imagine how God could love and forgive these evil Assyrians. He was keen for them to get the judgment they deserved. You punish them, God, send a few burning arrows down, do this, that and the other, strike them with lightning, whatever else, but they're so bad, I don't want to know. the whole idea of God forgiving these people was just too much. Too much. Jonah was sort of saying, God was the God of Israel. He wasn't the God of other people. He wasn't the God of other countries. So why did Jonah adopt this attitude? Think back to the time of when his family was around, time of Jeroboam. They've been fighting battles. They've been winning, losing. There have been a lot of things happen. There might have been somebody in Jonah's family who had been hurt or injured or even killed by the Assyrians. And you can empathise with him, because if we look at that today, somebody we know perhaps, somebody in our family, somebody we know, a friend or whatever else, has been attacked or molested. We can understand the feeling we have of vindictiveness and revenge. And this is what probably happened with Jonah. And that's why he ran away. He couldn't deal with it. He couldn't face up to the fact that God loved his enemies. People that he hated, who didn't believe what he did. It was asking too much of him to do that. Here was he, a zealous man for God, willing to do anything, but as long as it stayed in the realm of Israel, whether it was to a king or to the people of Israel, it didn't matter. As long as it was concerned with that, he was quite happy. But anything else, he wasn't. When we read this story, God's concern for Nineveh is in sharp contrast to Jonah's reluctance to be obedient. And it poses a question for us. How do we respond when God asks us to do his bidding? How do we respond? Do we say, sorry, no chance, I'm not getting involved with that? Do we come up with lots and lots of different excuses? Do we do what Jonah did? Run away. How do we face that? How do we respond? And that's the question that this passage asks us. How do we respond to what God asks us to do? The challenge of that, having to face it, perhaps something that we don't want to do or get involved with ever. He's just saying, but I want you to. And so here we are. That's the question that faces us. Next we find Jonah at the port of Joppa, where a ship is sailing west to Tarshish. Getting on board, he hopes to escape. And when you read the story about that in the book of Jonah, he disappears down into the hold. He doesn't want to be seen by anybody. He's thinking, well, there's a hold all round me, roof on, etc. God perhaps can't see me, but God could. He knew he was down there. There's no way. And he goes off to sleep. And they go out to sea, and the sea gets a bit rough, and he's still asleep. He's still asleep. And everyone, all the crew are getting worried, and they're getting scared. And the cut it story short, as we know, they speak to Jonah, what have you brought us to? And he said, well, the only way you can stop this is to throw me overboard. And that's what they did. They threw him out the boat. And there he was. His prayer was answered in many respects. And it was this prayer that he spoke at that point was in Psalm 18. And it was these words. The ropes of death surrounded me. The floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death itself stared me in the face. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry reached his ears. And that's the point where the whale, the big fish, or whatever you like to think it is, came along. It's his lowest point, and he gets caught up